Today we're building a drop workflow in Ableton Live 12 for that old school jungle and ragged DNB energy, but with one big rule: we want it punchy, loud enough, and still safe on headroom. So this is not about just cranking everything until the master screams. It's about designing the drop so it lands hard, breathes properly, and still has room to evolve after bar one. That's the difference between a loop that sounds exciting for 5 seconds and a drop that actually feels like a record. In this style, the drop usually has a few things all competing for space at once. You've got the breakbeat transients, the sub, maybe a res or mid bass for movement, and those ragga vocal chops or dubby FX hits that give it character. If you don't control that early, the whole thing gets messy fast. The master starts peaking too soon, the low end smears, and your snare loses that clean smack that makes DNB feel alive. So the first move is to set up the drop like a system, not just a pile of sounds. Put the drop where it makes sense structurally, usually around bar 33 or bar 65, so you've got a clean build leading into it. Then group your session into clear sections: drums, bass, vocals or ragga FX, and atmosphere or transitions. That alone helps you make better decisions because you're mixing parts, not random clips. Now, before you add anything heavy, put a utility on the master and check the mix in mono while you build. That's a really smart move in jungle and DNB, because the low end can fool you when it's wide or overprocessed. Mono tells the truth. If the sub and kick feel solid there, you're in a good place. Also, aim to leave some headroom from the start. Don't wait until the end to discover your drop is already clipping. A good target is to keep the loudest part of the drop peaking somewhere around -6 to -3 dB before mastering. That gives you room to breathe and keeps the mix from feeling pinned down. Let's start with the drum core, because in jungle the break is the heartbeat. Instead of building the groove around the bass, build it around the breakbeat first. Use drum rack for chopped break slices, or simplers in slice mode if you want to re-edit quickly. Add an EQ8 on the drum group and clear out unnecessary rumble with a high pass around 30 to 40 Hz. If the break feels boxy, dip somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz a little. Not too much, just enough to open it up. Then, if you want a bit more glue, put a glue compressor on the drum bus slightly. Think gentle, maybe a 2 to 1 ratio, only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. You want the drums to stay lively, not flattened. Jungle drums need some rawness. If you overquantize every chop and compress the life out of it, it stops feeling like jungle and starts feeling like a very polite loop. You can reinforce the break with a kick and snare if you want, but don't let those fight the break for attention. In this style, the break brings the character, and the kick and snare just help the impact read clearly on club systems. Now let's build the sub. Use a dedicated sub track with operator or waveatable, and keep it simple. A sine wave or something very close to it is ideal. Put utility at the end so you can keep it mono, and if you need a little extra translation on smaller speakers, put saturator before it to add a few harmonics. That helps the sub be audible without needing to make it louder. Keep the sub low past around 80 to 120 Hz if you're layering a mid bass above it. And be strict about stereo. No wide effects on the sub. No fancy spread. The sub is the foundation, not the decoration. In old school jungle, the sub often works best when it responds to the drums instead of droning constantly. So think in phrases. Let it hit on the downbeat, then leave a gap for the vocal or the break to answer. That call and response feeling is a huge part of the vibe. For example, in bar 1, let the sub hit on beat 1. In bar 2, answer again on beat 1, maybe with a shorter pickup on beat 3 and the end. Then in bars 3 and 4, drop out a couple of notes so a vocal stab or drum fill can breathe. That little bit of emptiness creates more weight than filling every space. Now for the mid bass or res layer. This layer is not there to replace the sub. It's there to add attitude, movement, and texture. Use waveatable, analog, or even a resampled bass loop in simpler. The goal is not raw volume. The goal is presence. Build a one-bar phrase that has motion in it. Maybe a filter movement, maybe a slight modulation, maybe a little distortion. Then change it slightly every 4 bars so the drop keeps evolving. Auto filter is your friend here. A low pass somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz can darken it and make it move nicely. If you're using saturator, keep the drive moderate, around 2 to 6 dB, just enough to rough it up a bit. If the bass starts getting too wide, trim it back with utility or keep the important low stuff mono below around 120 Hz. In DNB, width is cool, but not down in the foundation. That's where the kick, sub, and snare need room. A very effective old-school trick is to make the bass answer the vocal. So if the vocal chop lands on one bar, that the bass do a rising filter move on the next bar, then strip it back again so the drums can punch through. That back and forth is what keeps the drop feeling alive. Now let's talk ragga vocals. This is a big one. In this style, the vocal should feel like rhythm, not like a lead singer standing on top of the beat. Use short chops, one-shots, little spoken phrases or call-outs that punctuate the groove. Keep them on their own track, and process them with care. Simpler is great for slicing and re-triggering. Echo can give you those short dub delays. Reverb is fine, but use it sparingly. EQH should clean out the low end so the vocal doesn't clog the mix. High pass somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz is a good starting point. For delay feedback, try 15 to 30%. For reverb decay, something compact, around 0.8 to 1.8 seconds, usually works better than huge washed out space. And here's the key, keep the vocal lower than your instinct tells you. Ragga chops should cut through because of timing, tone, and placement, not because they're blasting over everything. A really strong arrangement move is to use the vocal only in the first 8 bars, then pull it out for 4 bars, so the drums and bass feel bigger, then bring it back for a final switch up near the end of the phrase. That appear, disappear, return pattern is classic jungle energy. It creates movement without adding more and more level. Now we get to the heart of the lesson. Headroom. Don't rely on master limiting to fix a busy arrangement. Fix the levels at the source and on the buses. Use utility on individual tracks to trim gain cleanly before the device chain gets out of hand. Keep the drum group and bass group balanced against each other. If every device adds a little output gain and you're not watching it, the mix can climb into clipping without sounding obviously wrong until it's too late. A good rule is that the snare should act like the headroom anchor. In this style, if the snare is clear and punchy, the whole mix feels louder without needing as much actual level. If the snare gets buried, you'll keep turning things up trying to recover the impact, and that's when the headroom disappears. If needed, use gentle side chin compression on the bass from the kick or snare. Keep it subtle, ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1, attack around 5 to 20 milliseconds, release around 60 to 120 milliseconds, and only 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. You just want a bit of movement and space, not obvious pumping unless that's part of the aesthetic. Now instead of making the drop bigger by just turning things up, make it bigger by changing density and texture. That means automating filter cutoff, saturation drive, echo feedback, return sends, and drum variation. In other words, the energy should evolve because the arrangement evolves, not because the fader keeps climbing. A nice way to think about it is in impact zones. Every 4 or 8 bars, leave 1 or 2 moments slightly less dense. That little gap makes the next hit feel way bigger. A half bar of space before a snare or vocal stab can hit harder than adding another layer ever will. For example, bars 1 to 4 can be the main groove with the full drum and bass foundation. Bars 5 to 8 can add the ragga chop and open the bass filter a bit. Bars 9 to 12 can pull out one drum element and bring in a fill or reverse FX. Then bars 13 to 16 can give you a final switch up with a snare fill, vocal stab, or extra break edit. That way the drop feels like it's developing, not just repeating itself louder and louder. A really useful move here is resampling. Once the groove is working, print some of it to audio. Resample the bass and vocal response, or bounce the drum loop with the fills included. Then chop the audio and re-import it into Simplr or onto an audio track. This gives you more control, more character, and often better peak management than endlessly tweaking MIDI. A lot of headroom problems are actually just untrimmed audio. So if the resampled part is too hot, trim it first with utility or clip gain before you start processing. That one habit saves a lot of pain. And finally, think about the end of the drop like a DJ would. Even if the drop is heavy, it still needs shape and utility. Add a snare fill at the end of the phrase, strip the sub for half a bar, throw in a reverse cymbal or noise sweep, and let the ragga vocal hit one last time before the next section. That gives the arrangement a sense of motion and makes it easier to mix into or out of later. Try to keep intro and outro sections stripped enough for DJs. Don't fill every inch of the spectrum right at the transition point. A track that's too full all the time can be harder to use in a real set. So the big takeaway is this. Build the drop in layers and phrases, not as one giant loud chunk. Keep the sub mono, simple, and controlled. Let the breakbeat and snare do a lot of the heavy lifting. Use the ragga vocal as a rhythmic weapon. Automate density, filter motion, and FX sends instead of just volume. And watch headroom from the start so the drop stays punchy, loud, and mixable. If you want a great practice exercise, Build a 4-bar drop loop right now. Make a chopped breakbeat with one variation each bar. Add a mono sub with one or two notes per bar. Put in a mid-res that only plays in the gaps between snare hits. Add one rag of vocal chop as call and response. Then check the whole thing in mono and adjust until the loudest moment stays controlled, but still feels aggressive. If that works, duplicate it to 8 bars and remove one element for a switch up. That's the mindset. Energy through arrangement, not just volume. Do that, and you're not just making a drop. You're building a proper old-school jungle moment with space, weight, and serious attitude.